Welcome, everyone, to the Utah PTA Pulse podcast. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know. I thought that's kind of cool. I am your co-host, and my hostesses are to my right, your left. We'll start with...
I'm Angelie Ado, the Family Life Commissioner.
And I'm Cami Whitchurch, the Community Engagement Commissioner. And you did not introduce
yourself. No, yeah, you forgot your name.
Yeah, Mike Williams, Director of Communications. And we have a guest today.
Should I introduce myself?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm Rebecca Pitts, Utah PTA Reflection Specialist.
Now, Rebecca, every podcast we start with a fun question. Sometimes
they're hard questions.
Yes, yeah, they're usually hard, make you think questions, or
those.
Kind of silly. Okay, this is a make you think one.
Okay.
Is a ravioli a dumpling?
You know, I'm not really educated on the definition of a dumpling.
So a dumpling is usually some sort of dough that's been leavened and is filled with something.
Oh, it has to be filled to be a dumpling?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it has
and
to be filled.
And so a pasta dough is not leavened.
I did not think pasta dough was leavened. I did not think dumpling dough was...
It has like a slight amount of leavening.
Like that really creepy cartoon where the dumpling eats the other dumplings. You'll have to watch that. It's a short. If it's required for it to be leavened, it can't be a dumpling then. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it's a ravioli.
And it
doesn't need... No.
Because egg is a binder.
Oh, it's a binder.
Yeah. Yeast. We're talking about a yeast dough with the dumpling, right?
Yeah. But yeah. A gnocchi, which is made from potato flour...
Is disgusting.
Yeah,
well,
I don't...
My daughter's favorite.
Some of it's okay, but it's considered a dumpling.
Why?
Really?
It doesn't have anything in
filled.
It.
Well, I guess like stuff like... rolls into that little slot.
Yeah.
Is that why it's...
A gnocchi is like a potato...
I also read that... So I found this question today. I was looking up some questions, and I found this one, so I was doing some research earlier to kind of see what, you know, the internet had to say about it. And some people feel like a dumpling is also special because you have to, like, hand make each one. Where, like, a ravioli, you could kind of use, like, a press, or you could do a whole bunch at one time, but, like, to make, a steamed bun, you have to carefully do the bun by itself. I don't know.
Yes.
But is a Pop-Tart a ravioli?
A Pop-Tart is cardboard with jam.
I love Pop-Tarts.
I consider ravioli to be a pasta and a Pop-Tart to be a pastry.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's true.
So I'm going to say no, but is it a sandwich? I mean, we could talk about what makes a sandwich, because that's a whole thing.
Right? What do you got? What do you got on here?
Oh, I asked Gemini. Dumpling. Ravioli fits the general definition of a dumpling, a small filled pastry. Pasta.
Oh, wait, that would mean a Pop-Tart is
no.
A dumpling.
I know.
Pasta's not pastry.
It's also classified as a pasta because it's made from dough, typically a combination of flour, eggs, and water, and shaped into a specific form. So while the term dumpling and pasta can sometimes be used interchangeably, ravioli falls into both categories.
What?
Who's Gemini?
AI.
Oh,
AI could be really off. I know. Everyone I know, AI can be very... But I love to ask AI everything.
Based off what I read on the internet today, that it's like very strong. Like either the ravioli is a dumpling or it's not, and people have really
strong
opinions.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
That's
something I've never
thought
about before.
Like something to think about.
I ate ravioli last week in a moment of desperation and hunger. You know, the yucky ravioli that has...
It's in a can.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, like a tortellini is a pasta
delicious.
Stuffed with cheese, but it's not considered a dumpling, but like a ravioli, which is also a pasta
How
stuffed
is that different?
With cheese, could sometimes be considered
a tortellini is not completely sealed, right?
True.
And a ravioli should be.
Oh.
What about a kolache? A kolache is...
This is so good. Oh, my gosh.
I've made those. Yeah, they're like a bread product, and it's stuffed. with different fillings.
I can't eat it. It's
funny. You need to go to the kolache store.
So there's good.
There's a kolache store.
Oh my gosh. There's one in American Fork.
There's one on Redwood Road and about 78 South.
Seriously? Like right by my house? Mm-hmm.
Right by your house.
So good.
Close to where Kitchen Needs.
Well, it's not Kitchen Needs anymore.
Maybe they took it over. It's in the, it's in one of those buildings that looks like the Kitchen Needs building.
Really?
Is
right.
it Let's is the one by it. You, is it Horesca's?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's so good.
Corey Ruska used to be in my ward. He's a very nice guy.
Who?
Corey Ruska.
Oh.
He's the owner.
The kolache dude?
Uh-huh.
Okay. They're really good. If you haven't tried kolaches, you should try them.
They're so good.
I've made them before. They're kind of a pain to make, but I grew up in Texas, and we had them there. My parents would buy them for us. They're really good.
This is Texas. Not sponsored, but...
by Texas.
Maybe if they hear this podcast, they'll give
I
us
I am wearing
a
Texas shirt today, Bluebell Ice Cream.
It's the best.
Yeah. Oh, it is the best. It's so
you can get
good.
It here, too. Did you know
yep.
that?
Yep.
And I also saw they serve it at... one of the places in Bear Lake that you can get ice cream at.
Oh.
But my friend tried the banana pudding one, and she had high hopes, and she said it wasn't quite that good.
I just want the homemade vanilla every time.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's so good.
It's pretty good. I also want a Whataburger, too. But...
yeah, those are really good, too.
All right, now we're really on a tangent.
Sorry.
So, when we post this episode, we want to know what you think. Is a ravioli considered a dumpling or not? And why?
I'm just trying to figure out how to spell kolache.
I know.
K-O-L-A-C-H-E-S. S for kolaches. I could eat there every day. So good.
West Jordan.
I might have to go get one tomorrow because I'll be over there. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Reflections, which is an amazing PTA program. So we're just going to turn the time over to you. Rebecca, do you want to tell us about Reflections, what it is, how it works?
Yeah, how long do you want me to talk for?
You just, can take as long as you
start.
Want.
Just start.
Okay.
Reflections is a national PTA program that has been around for over 50 years. I participated in Reflections when I was a little girl. It is an art contest. They call it a program, but it is an art contest. And it currently has 7 categories students can compete in. They can compete in each of the categories if they want, 1 entry per category. And those categories are 2D visual arts, 3D visual arts, photography, literature, music composition, film production, and dance choreography. When I was a little girl, we only had 2D visual arts, music composition, photography, and literature. But so over the years, they have added more categories. And a really interesting thing is that Utah is one of the highest participation states in Reflections, regardless of the size of our population, which is really low compared to other states. We have...
yeah.
I don't know the current population. Last time I checked, it was about 3.2 million. It's probably higher. But some other states have 12 million people, 14 million people, and we still have really high participation, and we usually are either the highest, have the most national winners, or close to the most national winners.
Wow, that's so cool.
And because we participate so effectively, Utah has been allowed to pilot some of the new... categories over the years. So Utah piloted a category which ended up not being used, which was a theater category where students would create a play. And Utah piloted 3D visual arts. And a few years ago, the National PTA decided to incorporate 3D visual arts into the visual arts category. We keep it separate in Utah all the way up until the last minute when we don't have a choice anymore. And then we have our 2D visual arts winners judged against our 3D visual arts winners because we're only allowed to send 1 entry for each division in the visual arts. But it's pretty special that we've had the chance to pilot that. There's so many things I could say about Reflections, but it's more than a program. It's more than an art contest. One of the things about Reflections that makes it special is that every year the students create their art centering or reflecting on a theme. And that theme is different every year. When I was a little girl, they were always patriotic, and it's really fun to get on our website and you can see the past themes over the years and laugh, because one year it was life in these United States, or, you know, my country tis of thee. The next year, sweet land of liberty. Like, not kidding, they went through
Let the whole song
of thee I sing.
They really did.
That's awesome.
So many patriotic themes, which I think is reflective that the themes were not being suggested by children at the beginning, but now the themes are suggested by children, and each state gets to run a little contest to collect suggestions, and then we send our top five on to the national level, and they select a theme for 2 years in advance. So Utah has had our suggestion picked a few times. We had Look Within, I believe Look Within and Within Reach were both from Utah, which is pretty cool. But so we already know the theme for next year. Right now, students are competing. Some schools are finished. Some schools have their due dates in the next few weeks or even into November. And they're competing and they're creating art reflecting on the theme, Accepting Imperfection. And next year, the theme will be I Belong. So it's really fun because we have this theme, and a huge percentage of the score comes from how the students interpreted that theme. So as the judges look at their entries and calculate what they want to get for their scores, 40% of the score is made up of how the judge feels they did interpreting the theme. And they determine that based on the title and the art itself, and the students also write an artist statement, which is different than other art contests. And they get 100 words or less, 10 to 100 words, to explain how their art is reflecting on the theme. So in addition to the interpretation of theme, they also are judged on originality and creativity and mastery of the skill. And so those each make up the other 60% total. And so that makes it different. We'll see entries that will win and beat other entries that maybe had a higher mastery level, but weren't as compelling with their interpretation of the theme. And when we always see into the hearts of these kids, and it's just, I just don't know how I can explain, like, what a privilege it is for me to be able to see these entries and see these kids share about the hard things that they go through, about their lives, about how they're hopeful. And no matter what the theme is, you always will see that type of theme. With this year, with the theme Accepting Imperfection, you know, these kids are getting a chance to reflect on, have they accepted imperfection? And or are they struggling with it, you know? And my own children are thinking about Reflections right now. Their school's entry date is coming up, our due date is coming up soon. And I've kind of been talking to them about different things, like, is there something that you're struggling to accept? And my daughter says an entry focusing on a pimple would be the worst thing ever. Both of my daughters, they are horrified, and I'm like, okay. It's clear that you are not ready to accept that pimples are not a big deal. And I was just joking around with them, brainstorming, you know, I was like, well, what about something on your body? Like, is there any of that? And they're like, no. We're not talking about our bodies, Mom. It's not going to be about me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But it's just so fun, and every year I will have a parent, you know, one or more parents reach out to me and tell me what Reflections meant for their child. And we had about 17,400 entries across the state last year, and I don't hear from a ton of people, but I'll hear from a few, and it's a student who, you know, maybe went up a few levels, and a parent will say something like, my child is the child who thinks he's not good at anything, who doesn't fit in, and this changed his life. Like, he knows that he can do things, and he's talented, and he's special, and I mean, how can you not get behind a program that allows that opportunity for many children every year, even if they only win at their school, to build their self-esteem and show them that it's okay to put themselves out there, you know? I mean, it's just actually the best.
I love that so much. So much. I had a question, but I can't remember it.
Well, I have a question. Yes. And so, I mean, what you just said was the perfect wonderfulness. I want to get into judging.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is so hard to judge. Yes. Having been a judge, I'm like, they're all awesome. How do I, like...
Yes, it's hard.
So hard.
It is hard.
And I just want to say, too, I don't think people understand who can be judges. I want you to tell us who can be a judge.
I love to talk about judging. The answer to who can be a judge is anyone who is an adult without restriction of age. You have to be an adult. We allow teenagers with some supervision. So any adult who lives anywhere in the world can be a reflections judge, and we ask that they have some qualifications that would make it where they would be capable of judging that category. And our we don't have like a firm requirement that someone has to have a degree in the topic, but the higher up the levels go, the more we ask people to try to get someone with professional qualifications. So at a school level, you know, they are going to find whoever they can, someone who maybe is really good at art, who minored in art, who is a dance teacher, you know, that type of stuff. It's really impossible to find professional filmmakers when you just are doing it for a school. So a lot of times our specialists judge for each other because they understand the program. They understand the judging rubric, and they understand what's being looked for. You know, so you've judged for reflections probably in dance choreography, mm-hmm. and you have dance experience. So someone who's gone through that, for me, sometimes I judge in literature because I'm a writer, and sometimes I judge in music composition because I'm a piano teacher. I don't have a degree in music, but I have the life experience. You know, so we say you do the best that you can. So anyone can, and that's really awesome. It used to be that all the entries were physically taken to the judges before we went online, right? Yeah. Sometimes people are a little bit upset about the online system, and there's a little bit of pushback, and they say that it's not inclusive and it's difficult for certain people, but they weren't part of Reflections before we went online when they say that, because Reflections was really difficult to enter before. You had to go to the store and buy a manila file, a manila folder, and you had to buy sheet protectors, and you had to buy masking tape. It had to be the right color. You had to put the art inside of that, and if it was literature, you had to have 3 copies of your literature entry. If it was dance choreography or film production or music composition, not that long ago, it had to be saved on a DVD. Mm-hmm. What are those called? See, you know, yeah, you had to save it. So they had to purchase that. They had to have a computer. They had to be able to upload the entry to the computer, download it to that. And then a little bit later, the requirement was a flash drive, which were still pretty expensive. You can get a small one for pretty cheap now, but that was a big requirement. You still had to have a computer. You had to have the know-how to do all that stuff. And now all people really need is a cell phone. And most people have a cell phone. Even people who don't speak English, most of them have a cell phone. And our website is usable on a cell phone. And if this is a really important tip, I'm always telling people, when you get on utahpta.org, if you can't find what you want, scroll down. And then scroll down. And scroll down until you get to the bottom of the page. And at the bottom of our page is a translate button, powered by Google, where you can translate anything that's not a PDF into any of the languages that are available. So that's really useful for people that want to be able to read that. It's not completely perfect because our PDFs are still in English, but the people running the program speak English, so we do need, there does need to be some help to help people get things in English. But anyway, I diverted off of judging, but I could talk about this forever. I get a lot of feedback from people who judge that it's hard, but they also really enjoy it. It is hard because we don't like judging people, but hopefully the rubric helps as they go in. And you look at the entry, and you can look at all the entries. You can judge in your pajamas, in your bed. You don't have to do it all at once. You can go and look at it and come back later. And so that's really conducive to people having busy lives. And we usually ask them to give the judges, you know, plenty of time. Sometimes that doesn't happen. But I give the state judges 3 weeks, so they have a lot of time to go in and look. And after you've looked at everything, it kind of gives you the ability to say, okay, I'm seeing the gamut of what we have here. One of our changes for this year that we've had a little bit of unhappiness about, because change is hard, is we're requiring 3 judges when entries need to be judged. Because we feel like it's unfair to these students to have only 2, because, you know, you said something about those potato things tasting good. Who said that? Oh, no. Bit of honey. Before the podcast, I said bit of honey is gross, and all 3 of you like it. And that's one of those things that, like, people either really like it or they think it's a grandma gross candy, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I think they're gross. But so if we only have 2 judges, what we sometimes see happen is, you know, opinions, because it is opinion-based, right, a lot of the time. And so someone might give a really high score to an entry, and another judge might give a really low score, and then that entry is out of the competition.
Mm.
Yeah.
When we only have 2 judges. So we need to have at least 1 more judge to kind of make up the difference when we have extreme differences of opinion. And then if you still see that there's issues, like, I'll go in and look, and if I see a judge, you know, giving kind of a huge gamut of scores, maybe I'll bring in another judge to try to make it more fair. You know, because contrary to some belief, we are trying to make it fair, and it is not a conspiracy, you know.
Yeah.
We want these kids to have the best chance they can have. So have you judged for reflections yet?
I have not judged. I've judged before, years have passed, but
when it was physical?
Oh, no. Thank goodness. Well, it just sounds awful. When you're like, you have to deliver it to the judge? Oh, no.
Well, and getting those, because I remember being in a reflections chair and having, like, these projects that you're like, I'm really trying not to ruin it. But when you have a lot of projects and you have to transport them, or, because you always have to transport them, yes, at least somewhere, whether it's your house.
Or you bring people to one location to judge, and then they only get an hour or two. Sometimes people would have a judging event and all the judges would come. And then sometimes the judges would collaborate and talk to each other, and that's really not what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be that one judge looking at it individually. Yeah, my first year, I was keeping the entries, the state entries. We had 700 state entries that I had to divide up on one of my kids' beds because he was on a mission.
Yeah. It's always, I was always worried something was going to break, especially with those 3D art ones. You're like, I don't want to break your sculpture or whatever it was. Yeah. It was scary.
And at the local level, they would turn the physical 3D art in. Yep. Yeah, it is kind of scary. We stopped displaying 3D art at the state level because bad things kept happening. Like, one of the entries just, like, exploded during the state awards night. It just, like, and it was actually a well-made one. It appeared to be welded, but I guess it wasn't welded, but it was metal, and it was so beautiful, and it just, like, broke, and that was really terrible, and I had to call the parent. And then we had one, the kids like to use, like, the children will use the most creative things you can imagine to make art out of, and this was not super creative, but they like to use the clay that never hardens. And so we had this really cute entry out of the clay that never hardens, and we had a clear plastic case over it to protect it, and it melted in the old dome meeting hall. The sun came in the window just the right way, and it melted, you know, and just stuff would just break, you know, like, they're making things out of, like, hay. And today someone asked me, there was an entry made out of Oreos, and it did not follow the rules, so this one was a problem. Reflections entries cannot focus on copyrighted material. And so this was an Oreo house, and they kept talking about the Oreos, and they weren't glued together, and 3D art has to all be like one cohesive, it has to be one cohesive piece of art. And if they would have used frosting, we would have allowed that, but I was like, it can't focus on Oreos, they're copyrighted. We don't think about our food being copyrighted, but
I mean, an Oreo definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Oreo's copyrighted, so is Coca-Cola and lots of stuff. So that's one of the biggest issues is copyright violation. And we're constantly trying to train our specialists, and that's where it gets a little bit contentious with people disagreeing, you know, is this a copyright violation? Is it not? And I just say, hey, you make your best decision at your level. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. When it comes to me, if it comes to me, then I'm going to make my decision, and that's how it is, you know, because I'm not sending entries on the nationals that are going to get disqualified for copyright violation.
Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, is it better to just avoid it altogether?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just don't even have it there for that someone to question it, right?
Yeah, because, like, let's make art that comes from us, you know, have it be creative and original. And that doesn't mean you can't have copyrighted materials included in it. Like, you could take a picture and it has a Coke can in it, but don't take a picture of the Coke can. Take a picture of your family having a picnic and there's, you know, the food. It has the packaging. That's not the focus. But yeah, definitely avoid it. You know, we had a beautiful entry last year. It was so good and it had so many violations. Three children did it together, and you're not allowed to collaborate in reflections. And it was a comic book, and you're not allowed to do comic books. It has to be just, this was entered in literature, and you can't have comic books. And it was Captain Underpants. And they made their own Captain Underpants story, and it was really good, you guys. But we had to disqualify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you reach out and tell them, I'm so sorry, you guys are so talented. You can't do this.
That's hard. I think that's hard, yeah, because you know how much work they've put into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is hard.
So on a local level, how do you usually advise them to handle that? You know, so they have a project that doesn't qualify.
First, I ask them to make sure that it doesn't qualify, so never to make assumptions. Sometimes you know for sure based on what you have right in front of you. But if there's any question, to ask the questions to make sure. And we, 95% of the time, are going to take their word for it unless we have evidence otherwise. Assume that people are being honest. So make sure it doesn't qualify. And if it can't be fixed, then you have to tell them that. But I recommend the Oreo method, actually, you know, or the sandwich method, where you say something really nice, and then you tell them what's wrong, and then you say something really nice. So something along these lines, like, your Captain Underpants comic just was so well done and so cute, and wow, you guys really have a future in collaborating with each other, creating funny comics. But unfortunately for reflections, you can't focus on copyrighted material, and you're also not allowed to work with other people. So we have to disqualify this. But if you guys have time, you know, if I was a local specialist, I would say, I'll give you guys 3 days to make your own entries, and here's a link to the rules. Make sure you read them and ask me questions if you want, you know, and upload a new entry. And if they can't fix what's wrong with the entry, or there's not time to upload another entry, then I will end it with, I really hope that you'll enter next year. Here's the theme for next year. And, you know, and make sure you read the rules. Have you guys ever been in, like, a class where a teacher or professor gives everybody a piece of paper and it's got all these directions on it, and when you get to the bottom of it, and they say read all the directions before you do it, and when you get to the bottom of it, it's like all you were supposed to do was like write your name on it and turn it over, but if you didn't read all the directions first, you totally screw it up. Okay, that's how reflections is. You need to read the rules before they make the project. So most of our issues come from people not reading the rules, and it's frustrating, you know, but we like to balance the justice, we have to follow the rules, with mercy of teaching them
these are the rules, you have to follow them, let them fix it if they can, and if not, encourage them for the next year, because in PTA, we are not about hurting children.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I know as a reflection specialist, I think I've had some that didn't qualify, and they still got a participation award.
Of
you know,
course.
whatever everyone that participated got, they still got that.
Because they participated.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and I'll say, give them the participation incentive. Don't give them an award. Don't tell them a mixed message that you don't actually have to follow the rules. But they participated. They shouldn't be punished. Yeah. So it usually goes really well. Every now and then, it doesn't, and people are upset, but most of the time it goes really well, and people are grateful, and they learn that you need to read the rules. Really valuable life lesson.
Yep, that's rules. So true.
I mean, like, in all things, I mean, I just think of all the times when I've tried to put something together and I didn't read all the instructions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, it's a good lesson.
Sometimes it's a hard lesson, but...
Yeah, for real.
They probably won't do it again.
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually they won't do it again. Sometimes they do. And that's sad. They do, but usually they're grateful. And grateful for the chance to fix it, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I have given people a chance to fix something at the state level because I'm a softie. And I, you know, it's not their fault that it wasn't caught at a lower level. It is their fault they didn't read the rules. But I've let people fix stuff that has gone on to win a national award before, you know, and I thought, they put so much work into this, it's worth letting them fix this one little issue. And one of our common issues in reflections is in the film production category. In reflections, it's not like real life. So we're in real life here, and we've got three people running a podcast. You guys are collaborating. And there will be work afterwards, you know, to prepare it. But if this was an art contest for reflections, there would be only one of you in charge, making all the decisions and doing all of the work. So in film production, the students have to do all of the creative work, and they have to plan it. They don't have to act in it if there's actors. But in film production, they have to plan it, and they have to be the cameraman too, which is not really realistic to real life with making a film, but this is not real life. You know, this is an art contest with rules, right? And they don't allow collaboration. Real life allows collaboration. I've written a song, a few songs with one of my friends, and I wrote the lyrics, and she wrote the music, and we made amazing songs together, but we would get kicked out of reflections also because we're grown-ups.
Yeah, why don't they have reflections?
I really want. We should have one just for the state people against each other.
That'd be so awesome.
I would have the best dance one. Okay,
I would not.
And I look back, you know, when I was in kindergarten, I actually won an honorable mention for a story that I wrote.
And she remembers.
And I still
that.
Remember. And I remember getting this little like Kren eraser necklace for it. Like that's what I remember. You know, and it still sticks with me today.
And I loved it so
exactly
much.
What I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you won at the school level an honorable mention, which is like third place, and it meant something to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so powerful. I remember not winning.
I remember a lot of that, too.
I don't actually know if I ever won, but my piano teacher made me enter reflections every year, and this was back in the day when everything was done by hand, so I painstakingly was composing, and my compositions, looking at them, like, they are beautiful, perfect straight lines, because I had to, she made me use a ruler, it had to be perfect, but my songs were just pretty bad. And I'm a really harsh critic, you know. But I wrote one, the theme was I Wish, and I wrote, I wish every day was my birthday. And I don't know, it's just kind of cheesy and kind of dumb, and I still have it, you know. But what I actually learned from my reflections experience was I actually wanted to enter literature, and I was scared to enter in literature because that was where my heart was, and I love music too, but I had things inside that I wanted to share, and I was so afraid of putting it out there and being rejected. I didn't let anybody know that I had this writer heart when I was little, and I didn't enter. And I got older and older, and I finally, after being state reflection specialist for a while, decided I was going to stop acting out of fear. And I put it out there, and I was able to get some books published and an article online, and it was terrifying. But this rejection I was afraid of didn't happen, but it could, and that would have been okay too, you know. And I write a lot just on my Facebook page, and I realized that when we can encourage our kids to not be scared and to go ahead and enter, even if they don't win or even if they just get one of the, you know, like lower awards, that helps them to be brave. And I wish that I would have done that when I was a little kid and not been afraid to share my heart, because it doesn't just change their life, it changes the lives of other people who come in contact with that. And the arts are so critical to society. Society crumbles when we don't have the arts. It's the heart of humanity to have that. And we need people who know how to make computers, and we need scientists. My own kids are all going into STEM fields, but they're also musicians and singers. And my daughter is a 3D artist. She's majoring in food science. But she makes things out, you know, creates puppets just from her mind and does all this stuff. But we need it. It's so important to our joy and to our connection with other people. And, you know, I'm a little bit psycho about reflections, but it's because it's just such a powerful platform. And all that the kids need to do to qualify to participate is go to a PTA school that is hosting it. And we have 450 schools in Utah that choose to host reflections.
That's a lot.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Can a student enter, like, if their school doesn't do reflections, can they enter at a different school?
No.
Okay.
Not in Utah. It's a, each state gets to decide how they want to handle that. And right now, no. They have to attend a PTA school. So if your school doesn't have a PTA and you're strangely watching this podcast, you should get one.
We can help you with that.
We can help you.
Yep. So let us know.
Yeah.
I mean, we did actually see that we had people from across
the pond.
Across the sea. I'm like, what is that thing in the middle called?
Right, in other countries.
Yeah, in other countries that have downloaded our podcast, so that's pretty cool. Like, and you know, PTA mm-hmm. touches lots of different places.
Yeah, it really does. It's just so awesome. And there's just some injuries that you never forget, for the good and the bad. And I don't want to call out any students, but some of them are just so funny. And we had one last year that it didn't end up winning because the student, there were some issues with the entry that maybe weren't following the rules, and probably not on purpose. Also, it didn't relate to the theme at all. But it was such a good song, and it was all about, like, her brother picking on her, and he better sleep with one eye open.
That's awesome.
I can't get it out of my head, you know. So there's really funny stuff like that, and there's just also really touching things where kids are talking about dealing with really big issues, you know, like their parents having cancer or passing away, or even them having cancer, suicide. And sometimes the kids will reveal something in their reflections entry that triggers the specialist reaching out to the school. When the student writes about having mental health struggles, and it seems like it's a current thing, and they ask me what to do, I'll say, hey, you know, you can ask the school counselor to reach out to that student. That's not a violation. They revealed it to us, and make sure that they're okay, and make sure that they're getting the resources that they need, because sometimes that is the place that they cry out for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone should do reflections.
I know. I agree. I just think about some of the entries that I've seen that are so impactful, and I still think back on those entries. Yeah.
Well, I always love seeing, like, the why behind it. You know, and I think about, like, art galleries and things, and you can look at a painting and it's so beautiful and moving in different ways, but you don't always know, like, what went into it or the story behind it. And sometimes the story behind it makes it so powerful. And sometimes it makes the art that maybe isn't super beautiful to you, but once you know that story, it becomes beautiful to you, you know? Exactly. And so I love the reflections. You're not just getting the piece of art, you're getting the story behind it, and you get to see all that beauty and turmoil sometimes that go into it. Mm-hmm. And I also love that reflections is often for kids that don't excel in other areas. You know, maybe they're not the football star and they're not the student council president, and maybe they're not like the best artist that's going to have an art gallery one day, but it touches just a different group of kids, you know. And I love that PTA has all these different programs that touch different different types of kids, you know. All of kids need that love and need to be reached out to, and we're not just, as a PTA, we're not just focused on reflections or Battle of the Bands, or like, we focus on different things to hopefully touch every child.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome.
This one is so great, so like meaningful and like special, touching. And yes,
no, you just like warm fuzzies in my heart.
Yeah, for real. Your
reflections entry now.
I know. I'm like, okay.
Every year I want to write something, but I never do, because if I put that out there, then people would read it and they would take ideas from it. That would be a problem, you know. But I'm like, oh, I want to tell you what I think this thing means, and people will ask me, and I'm like, what do you think it means?
Well, you should do one after. Yeah, so once like it's after, all done.
After it's all done.
Like, be this was my interpretation.
I should write my literature entry in November.
Yes, please.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I'll read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
I'll give you a sneak peek. My literature entry will be about how I have not accepted my imperfections.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's okay right now. Because I'd be a liar if I said I had. I want to accept my imperfections. But I'm a woman who lives in America and is exposed to the media. And it's powerful.
Well, that it is.
Yeah. Well, that just got me thinking, like, these themes are written by kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some of these are really, like, this theme, like, accepting imperfection, that is a really, mature's not the right word, but, like,
deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to think that, you know, a kid wrote that's or came up with that idea is pretty amazing to me.
You know, a few years ago the theme was I matter because.
I loved that one.
That was a good one.
And I thought it was a beautiful theme, and it was suggested by a kindergartner, I think in California. And as we were coming up to the year, because I knew about the theme for a couple of years, at the time that we were coming up to start to use this theme was at the same time that the Black Lives Matters movement really came alive. And it was interesting that I had some people message me, one in particular, someone messaged me and she was very angry about the theme. And she told herself the story that the kids in Utah, because they're mostly white and privileged, wouldn't be able to address this, you know. And she was thinking that it was just going to be a political nightmare what kids were going to write. She said, this is so insensitive, this is political, I want you to tell me who came up with this theme because I want to talk to them. And I wrote back and I was like, I will not tell you the contact information for the 5-year-old who came up with this theme. She came up with this 2 years ago. It has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. But we did get some entries related to that, and they were beautiful to me. Like, I love seeing different people's perspectives. I love learning. We all have our own sense of what's right and what's wrong and our politics, but Reflections is supposed to set that aside and just learn from the perspective of other people. You don't have to agree with them to see them and to experience it. So we have a lot of kids that will write about stuff that's maybe controversial, like LGBTQ issues and how they identify, and politics, and, you know, feelings that are really difficult, and abuse and stuff like that. Sometimes the students will create art that has nudity or profanity, and we don't censor it. We don't censor art from the PTA. And it, I think that's a good thing, not to censor the art. And I support that, you know. But we also sometimes have funny things happen with the themes too. And the funniest one to me is, no matter what the theme is, kids will make their entry about recycling. I haven't seen any this year. I haven't typed the word recycling in because I can like search, I can see everything. So I should do that when I go home tonight.
Or she's like, okay.
Recycling. And my kids like to trigger me by saying, I think I'm going to do my entry about recycling. I'm like, ah.
No. Okay, we're not trying to discourage any of those recycling people.
But I believe in recycling. I have a recycling can. But I just don't think it's all about recycling, you know? So I haven't seen any of that. What we're seeing this year, the big one this year, is that Japanese pottery that gets broken and mended with gold.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 1% of our entries this year are based on that.
I love that.
Which is fun, but also makes it not very creative.
Yeah, it's not very original.
Because it's not original, you know, so that's been a question and issue. And it ranges from someone purchasing a piece of pottery and breaking it and gluing it back together and painting it with gold to really creative ones where they painted somebody's face with gold and took a picture or did 2D art, and they've incorporated this concept of the gold veins into something or someone else. Yeah, but I mean, that's been interesting because we don't usually see that type of entry. A few years ago when it was Look Within, a lot of people did geodes. You know, and you're like, okay. I mean, it's fun though. It's fun to see where there's a bunch of people go one way and then all the other ways that it go. We have an entry this year called Banana Knife. And it is a 3D printed banana with a knife inside. And the artist statement is about how you don't know what's on the inside. I just kind of love it.
I mean, have you ever opened your banana and it looked fine on the outside and then it's
and
so,
it wasn't?
It's so gross, yes. On the inside?
Yes.
I mean, or have you ever opened your banana and you found a knife?
I mean, every day. What are you talking about?
Last year we had an entry called Banana Phone, and these are not by the same student. And it was a phone, and the receiver, it was like an old-fashioned phone like I had when I was a kid that you had to hold, and it had the little twisty cord thing, and it was a banana.
Like a real banana?
It was ceramic.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, a ceramic banana phone, and it had like a smiley face, and I mean, a banana phone. It was just really great.
Mm-hmm. Sounds adorable. Mm-hmm.
What they think of.
I know, kids are so creative. I really love what you said about how to see someone, or you can disagree with someone, but that you can still see them. Mm. I just love that, because I feel like right now our society is like, if we disagree, like, you're not a person to me.
Yeah, let's cancel you for not agreeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we have this false idea that people need to agree, that you need to argue with someone until they see your viewpoint. But what we really want is just to be heard, to be heard and to be seen, and for people to be curious, you know, and then maybe we can find something we have in common and build on that. And art gives us that chance. You know, when I look at an entry and maybe the student, you know, is making their art about something that is outside of my realm of comfort, and it gives me a chance to try to understand what's their life experience, what have they gone through, why is this what they chose to make their art about? And usually it's because they're hurting and they just want to be seen. They just want to be seen and someone to say, I see you as you are, and I'm just going to accept that that's how you are and not argue with you and tell you, you need to be different than you are. And that's powerful, you know, to do. And don't we all want that? Just for someone to say, I see you with your strengths and your weaknesses, and I accept you, who you are right now in this moment, with your strengths and weaknesses. I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Even as adults, like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think almost even more as adults.
Yeah.
I think that's a real, to put yourself out there is a scary, scary thing.
It mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's still scary. You know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
but it's worth it. Because if we don't take the risk in sharing, then we're missing out, you know, on that connection and that beauty of life. And another really cool thing about reflections is, you know, you'll hear stories about people who first created a reflections entry when they were younger, and they received that feedback that they actually had a talent at it. You know, they went up the levels, maybe went to the national level, and then it became their career. Which is pretty cool, because it's hard to have a career in the arts, speaking as a piano teacher. If I had to provide for my family as a piano teacher, it would be tricky, you know?
Yeah, it would be.
It would be hard. I mean, I'd have to work more than 40 hours a week and...
charge a lot more.
Yeah, you know, but so when someone's able to actually make a career of that, and that's what gave them the start, that's a big deal. Or when someone, you know, felt like nobody cared and they reach out later and they share, this kept me wanting to live. You know, I mean, it's just, it's crazy to me. I don't know of another contest that has that power.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they understood what it was going to become. You know, I think that it has evolved into, our kids are more willing to share and be authentic than when I was little. You know, there was a layer of protection there of like, don't, if you're a boy, don't say you like pink. You know, you couldn't wear pink. My brother wore pink and he was an outcast. Well, he was an outcast because he wore pink with green pants.
I mean, that's just disastrous fashion.
It was like this color pink with like army green pants, and it wasn't okay in like 1985. It wasn't okay.
I don't know if it'd be okay now either.
You can wear whatever you want now.
Yeah, you can wear whatever you want.
You can wear whatever you want. You can put whatever you want on your body, and people will look at you, and if you're really weirdly dressed, they'll look at you and then like look away. Like, I was on BYU campus a year and a half ago, and I had this big cougar head. I don't know why I had the big cougar head with me. But I mean, you guys, I do reflections, and I'm a little crazy artist type person, and I put the cougar head on and I walked around campus wearing the cougar head, and nobody looked at me.
They just ignored.
They probably thought it was awesome.
Nobody laughed. Nobody talked to me.
No one like came up and was like, let's take a picture together. That's
no, I know. Your socks don't have to match. I actually went to a doctor recently and I had to wear a gown. It was a dermatologist. So I put on the gown and I kept my socks on. And he looked at my socks and he said, how old are you? And he looked at my chart. I'm 47. And he's like, I thought you were like 25 because your socks don't match. But they matched. It was just the stripes on the toes didn't match. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? I'm like, my socks don't have to match. You can wear whatever you want.
That's right.
It's amazing. Because there were rules when I was a kid. You could not wear whatever you wanted.
It's true.
That has nothing to do with reflections.
No, that's okay. We get off on tangents. It's well, totally fine.
We always get off on tangents. It's all good.
I'm like the queen of tangents.
Same. It's fine.
Even trying to describe my commission, I was off on tangents.
I was listening to you in the hallway. That was interesting.
Well, there Rebecca, we really appreciate you coming and talking about reflections. And I really feel like the words that have been shared are so powerful. And I think this is the most meaningful podcast we've done. Mm-hmm. Like, our other podcasts are, we like them, but I think this one just really shows so much meaning and so much heart, and I love that.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you coming and taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Thank you. I was glad to come and get to talk about this, because, you know, we do this for the kids, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get frustrated, maybe with an angry email, I have to take a break, go breathe, don't answer them that day or something. And my husband's like, why are you doing this? And I get really fierce and I stare at him in the face and I go, it's for the children. But I really, really mean that.
Yeah.
If what I do can help one child every year to change their life, it's worth
it. It's worth all it, 100%.
It's worth all of it. Yeah. We're so lucky that we get to do this.
Yep.
Well, we'll have to do a part two, kind of after we get through some.
I know, so you can come and read your.
And,
she's got to read
don't
her.
Don't forget your literature entry.
Entry. Okay, I'll write it.
But just as like more judging gets underway, and maybe like when we have our state winners.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be really fun.
Yeah, I would love to share with you guys about some of the state winners.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, can't wait.
Okay. Thanks, Rebecca. Thank you. We love having you on here. I love your passion.
Yes.
Like, it is so evident that this is a passion for
and
you,
it feels
and I love that.
So real. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's real.
Yeah, it's very genuine. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, ready?
Okay, we're gonna dance.
All right, see you guys later.